Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm ending or nearing the end of my third week of teaching on a new book that I have entitled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. And I know many of you have heard me say this every day, but the reason I say this is because this book is different than most of my books. This book is actually a compilation of 16 of my books, and they're just briefly summarized in one chapter. So we have 16 different books that I've written on subjects. This is a brief summary of them all. One chapter devoted to what I've devoted in the entire book to in another format. And I am excited about this because I think that there is great benefit to just getting the overall picture of these things and having these things back to back. As I went through and edited this book and read it and proofed some things, it really ministered to me to put some of these truths back to back and it kind of connects the dots. You can get so bogged down in all of the details of studying one subject that you forget how all of these things relate together. And then this study guide that we have is really good. There's a CD-ROM on the inside that allows you to print out all of the questions in this book. And this is specifically made so that you can use this to disciple other people. You know, I taught recently on discipleship, and we have a lot of discipleship tools. I think that this is going to become one of the best discipleship tools because it just gives a brief overview of 16 of the major things that God has shown me. And I think it's going to be great. And you could go through and use this to disciple people. It'll raise up all kinds of questions. And then if people want further ministry, they can go into studying the book that will, of course, go into a lot more detail on each one of these subjects. Right now, today, I'm going to be dealing with the 11th chapter in this 16th chapter book. And this is talking about the effects of praise. And this really goes along good with what I just dealt with the last 2 days talking about prayer. And I shared yesterday that the real purpose of prayer is to just have relationship with God, to fellowship. And I used a lot of scriptures like in Psalms 100 and Philippians chapter 4 and other places where it says we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. We be thankful unto Him and bless His name. That's the way we're supposed to approach God. And that's what our relationship with Him is supposed to be about. So now I want to talk about the effects of praise. And there are three main areas that praise affects. Now, you could, of course, be more detailed, but I've just broken the effects of praise into three main areas. One of them is on you. The effect that praise has on you, and that's powerful. The second one is how praise affects the devil. And many people aren't aware of this, but praise is a weapon against the devil. Satan cannot stand praise. It drives him out. And there are scriptural examples of that. And then really one of the most important things, and this goes along with what I was teaching yesterday on prayer and why we should praise and thank Him, there is an effect that praise has on God. And many Christians aren't even aware of that. And yet there's scriptures like in Psalms chapter 22 where it says that God inhabits the praises of His people. Praise affects God in a positive way. It blesses God. Boy, that's powerful. You know, again, this is in a sense hard to do because I've got so much to say on every one of these things, and I'm just devoting one or a maximum of two television programs to these subjects. Again, that's the reason you need to get this book, the individual books that cover these things. But praise is powerful. First of all, let me just say this about the way that praise affects you. I believe that praise is like a way of taking your spiritual pulse. You know, if you wanted to see if you're healthy, if everything's going good, you check your pulse. And if a person looks like they're dead or something, and if they want to see, are they still alive, one of the things they do is check your pulse. And if your heart's still beating, and you can tell if it's a strong beat, if it's a steady beat, or if it's irregular, you can tell a lot about a person by taking their pulse. It's one of the ways that you check your health. And in the spiritual realm, I really believe that praise is one of the ways that you check your relationship with God. If you are a person who, well, I'm under this pressure, and man, I'm fighting off this sickness. I'm praying for my marriage. I'm praying for finances. I've been depressed and discouraged, and I just, you know, I don't have time to praise God or my focus. It's just there's such an urgent situation over here. Whatever your justification for it is, if you are not a thankful person who spends lots of time praising God, you are not healthy spiritually. I know some of you, that is not blessing you. It's intended to bless you. If you would receive it, it would bless you because it's the truth, and the truth that you know and receive will set you free. But that is a powerful statement. You aren't really abounding in faith. It says over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And the next verse says in verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. When it says abounding therein, that's talking about you abound in faith with thanksgiving. Or you could say it this way, if you aren't thankful, if you aren't praising God, then you aren't abounding in faith. Your faith is weak. You can really determine how your faith is by how much praise and thankfulness there is in your life. And there are some of you watching that think, I don't have anything to be thankful for. I tell you, it's a good thing I'm not God, because when I hear stuff like that, the spirit of slap just wants to come all over me. Amen. If you're breathing, the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you're breathing, you should be praising God because you've got breath. As long as there is breath in you, there is still the potential of God intervening in your situation and turning it around. Man, I've had people gripe and complain because they didn't have their needs met. What they mean is they want their fifth flat screen TV. They want, you know, their fourth iPod. They've got a phone that costs $300, but a new one came out that costs $500, and they just can't get it. And because of it, their needs aren't met and they're discouraged. And I tell you what, it just, if I was God, I'd just drop kick you off the face of the earth. Amen. It's a good thing I'm not God. There are many of us that gripe and complain. You know, the people that live in poverty in the United States are wealthier than, I don't know, 80% possibly of the rest of the world. And yet they're just comparing themselves, looking at the TV, and because they don't have the newest gizmo and the greatest gadget and all of this kind of stuff, then they're complaining and talking about how bad things are. Man, you ought to be praising God that things are as good as they are. I tell you, if you aren't praising God, you may have something that you think, well, this justifies me not praising God, but it doesn't. It doesn't. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, he was in jail facing execution, and he was just rejoicing. The book of Philippians is one of the happiest books that he ever wrote. There are 17 times in that book that he referred to joy, rejoice, rejoicing, different things like this. It was one of the most victorious, happy books that he ever wrote, and he was in the midst of a stinking prison when it was written. Unjustly facing possible execution. Most people would think, well, that justifies me not praising God. No, in the Philippian jail, in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, he was beaten unjustly. He didn't deserve it. His back was lacerated by whips, and then he was put in the darkest part of the prison. No light, his feet and his hands in the stocks. There was no way he could relieve his pain, get in a comfortable position. And he started praising God at midnight at the very worst time. He was praising God and thanking God. And he wasn't just praising God so he could get something. He wasn't using it as a tool to manipulate God to give him something. Because when the earthquake came and the prison doors were open and all their chains fell off and he was delivered from the stocks, they didn't run away. They stayed. You know, here's a radical thought. He wasn't praising God in order to get something. He was praising God because he actually loved God. How rare is that? You know, Jamie, my wife, has on our refrigerator a little cartoon. It was Family Circus, and she clipped it out. And it was one of the kids in the family praying, or excuse me, I think it was the mother, saying, "Father, thank you that things are the way that they are. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my kids." And it was just nothing but thank yous. There was no request. And in heaven, there's a cloud, you know, and in heaven, here's all of the angels sitting at computers, and one of them's looking over and saying, "Hey, everybody," and they're ringing bells, and everybody's, all of the angels are jumping and shouting and said, "Somebody's praying a prayer without asking for anything. They're just giving thanks." And all of heaven breaks into a celebration. I like that. And you know what? We've got a lot to be thankful for. I remember my kids. I sent them on missions trips when they were teenagers. And I remember my oldest son, Joshua, when he got back from Russia. This was back before the Berlin Wall came down. And he was behind the Iron Curtain. And he saw a lot of things. And when he got back off that plane, he got off and kissed the ground. And you know what? All of a sudden, he was thankful for how things are here. I just want to say all the people who are griping and complaining and feeling things are so bad you got nothing to praise God for, I'd like to buy you a one-way ticket to some of the places I've been and let you see what real poverty is and real hopelessness is. So many of our problems are just self-induced because we aren't praising God, because we aren't having a relationship with Him and blessing Him. You know, you can tell where you are spiritually by whether or not you are thankful and praising God. It is not something that just comes automatically. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, I believe it's verse 11, he says, "I have learned in whatever state I'm in therein to be content." It's something that you have to learn. It's not just intuitive. Human nature, fallen human nature, will gravitate towards what you don't have instead of what you do have. But I tell you, the effect that praise has on you, it is powerful. If you were to just, you know, if you made a commitment that, "God, before I complain about anything, before I ask you for anything, I am going to go through a list of all of the things I have to be thankful for." And if you would do that, by the time you got through your list, and if you did it from your heart, by the time you got to your problems, you'd realize that, you know what, this isn't that big of a deal. I've got so much more to be thankful for than I do to be complaining about. And it would just totally affect you. It would make your faith abound, as it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. It's powerful. And then the effect that praise has on the devil. Satan is an egomaniac. In Isaiah chapter 14, it says that the reason that he rebelled is because he says, "I will be like the Most High God. I will exalt my throne above God. I will sit on the sides of the north." Satan was envious of God. He didn't hate God. He didn't dislike all of the glory and the splendor and the things associated with God. Instead, he coveted those things. He wanted it for himself. And he tried to make himself above God. And so when people glorify God and give praise unto God, that is what Satan wanted for himself. And it's a reminder to him of his defeat. And he just cannot stand it. Have you ever been around a person who is a total egomaniac, egocentric, and everything has to be about them? And if you give a compliment to anybody, talk about somebody else's accomplishment, they're always going to chime in, "Well, I've also done this." And they just always are trying to divert all of the attention back to themselves. You know, guess where that trait came from? That is a satanic personality. It's a satanic trait where people just have to have everybody's attention glued on them. That's the way that the devil is. And if you've ever been around a person like that, and if you tell them, "Look, this isn't about you. We are talking about this other person. We're talking about something else." That person just can't stand that. They won't stand for that. They'll wind up leaving. Did you know it's the same thing with the devil? When you go to glorifying God, the devil cannot handle it. Amen. It just is rubbing his nose in his defeat. He's always wanted the worship that goes to God, and he can't get it. At Christmas time, you know, some of you will disagree with me on this. That's okay. Don't write me because I'm not going to change. Just love me anyway. But I believe that, you know, Santa Claus and all of this stuff is an invention of the devil because he's so jealous. All of this praise and glory going to God. And so he invents a fat man in a red suit trying to divert people's attention so that God won't get this glory. At Easter time, he comes up with an Easter bunny and all of these kind of things and diverts people's attention away from the resurrection of Jesus towards this. On Halloween, he diverts people's attention away from the, you know, All Saints Day is what it started. And he comes into the ghost and the goblins. And just any time you see people begin to start praising God and glorifying God, there will be a counterfeit over here because Satan cannot stand for God to get praise and glory. So if you start glorifying God and thanking Him and praising Him, Satan just has to exit. He can't stand. And if I had time, I could turn over to many scriptures and show you that as they played, demons would depart. As they played, the anointing of God would come. Satan cannot stand praise. So that's a very good reason right there to praise God. You know, Jesus, in the I think it's the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew, as He entered in to Jerusalem, the scribes and the Pharisees criticized all of the people who were praising Him and putting their garments and palm leaves down and worshiping Him. And Jesus said, if these were to be quiet, the very rocks would cry out. And then He quoted from Psalms chapter 8 where it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings Thou hast ordained strength. And He quoted it differently in the New Testament. He says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, Thou hast perfected praise. You put those two passages of Scripture together, and it says that praise is strength. Boy, that's powerful. And if you went back to Psalms chapter 8, verse 2, it says He ordained strength to still the enemy and the avenger. So when you take the way Jesus said it, that Thou hast perfected praise, the purpose of it is to still the enemy and the avenger, which is the devil. Praise is a powerful weapon against the devil. It stills him. It stops him. It drives him off. Man, how many reasons do you need to praise God? But here's the greatest one. And that is that God inhabits the praises of His people out of Psalms chapter 22. I believe that's around verse 3. He inhabits the praises of His people. You know, the Lord loves us. And that is so well established. John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And any person who loves another person has a need for that love to be returned. You know, it's what we make tragedies out of. You write these plays and stuff about somebody who loves a person and yet their love is never returned. And that's what they call a tragedy. And it's sad. I mean, any person who loves wants the person, the object of their love, to love them back. Well, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, that God is love. God loves us. And so He wants, He longs for us to return that love back unto Him. And let me just read a passage to you. I'm going to turn over and read this because some of you wouldn't believe this is in the Bible if I don't put it up there. But in Acts chapter 13, it's talking about all of these people that were gathered together. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. This says they ministered to the Lord. How do you minister to the Lord? Does this mean that they had a chair sitting there and they just by faith believed that God was sitting in it and they were preaching to Him and telling Him what to do? Or certainly not. You know what it means when they ministered? They were fasting and praying and ministering to the Lord. It just means as they were loving God and blessing Him. You know, there are so many scriptures. Again, I'm running short of time. I don't have time to turn to it. But there are many scriptures it talks about. Psalms 34, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within, or excuse me, that's Psalms 103. But it also says in Psalms 134 about blessing God. Anyway, there's many scriptures that talk about blessing the Lord. What does this mean? Well, religion has come down to where we say, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And we think that we're blessing the Lord by mouthing those words. But what this is saying is that when you love God, when you praise Him, when you give Him thanks for what He does, you know what? That blesses God. There are many of you that probably have never had this concept that you can actually bless God, that He can delight in you, that He can take pleasure from you, that you can make Him feel good. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to fall off His throne if you don't praise Him. I believe God is a complete individual and He can handle it. But I am saying that God loves you and He wants you to love Him back. And when you do, it blesses Him. Boy, that's powerful. And many people just haven't understood that you could actually bless God. That is so powerful. You know, I have a story where I took my two boys out and I had them invite, each one of them invited one of their friends. And this is like when they were 7 and 5, something like that. And I took them out and we went horseback riding all day. We played in the pasture. We dammed up a little stream. We got muddy and we had a swing that swung across the stream and they fell in the stream. And we ate junk food and we did all of this stuff that, you know, if Jamie was around, she wouldn't have liked them getting dirty and eating junk food and all this. But we just had a big time. Anyway, we took everybody home. We cleaned them up, took showers. I prayed with them. We had our devotions. And as I was leaving my son Peter's room and turned off the light, he said, "Dad." And I said, "Yes." And he says, "You're a good dad." And you know, when he did that, you know what that did? It blessed me. He didn't go like this and say, "Bless you, Dad." But he just said, "Dad, you're a good dad." And man, it blessed me. It made me want to get him out of bed and go horseback riding and do all this stuff over again just so that I could hear him say that you're a good dad. You know, I believe that God has feelings for us like that. I believe that God feels that way about you. And when you praise Him, it blesses God. This is why He created you. In Revelation 4, I believe it's verse 11, it says, "For His pleasure we are and were created." That means His original purpose, and still His purpose for us now is for His pleasure. And when we give back thanksgiving and praise to Him, it blesses God. And this is what you were created to do. There's a lot of people that think the only way I can do anything for God is serve Him. Well, God wants our service. But you know what? God wants your heart before He wants your actions. And if He gets your heart, He'll get your actions. God wants you to bless Him. Praise affects you, it affects the devil, and it affects God. It is one of the most healthy things that you can possibly do. And it's not just automatic. It's not intuitive. You have to learn to be content. You have to learn to be thankful. And I encourage you that you need to just make a decision that you are going to start blessing the Lord. I've got this book entitled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. I encourage you to listen to our announcer. He's going to give you some information about it. And please call or write today and request this teaching.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's newest book, titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword, is available for a gift of any amount. This book is unlike any other Andrew has ever written. Rather than one topic, it contains 16 of Andrew's most powerful teachings. Each is condensed into a single chapter, making this the most comprehensive collection of life-changing messages we've ever offered. Contact us today to get your copy. Or, if you prefer, you can order Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword on DVD as seen on TV. This series has over 7 hours of life-changing teaching. The entire DVD series is available for a gift of any amount. There's also a new Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword workbook available for a gift of $35 or more. The workbook works well in conjunction with the DVD series, offering the opportunity for deeper study of the biblical principles Andrew presents in his teaching. Or you can get all three of these products by ordering the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package. This package includes the brand new book, the As Seen on TV DVD series, and the workbook. The entire package has a catalog value of $79. But today, you can get the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package for a gift of just $69 or more. A single DVD containing the third week's broadcast of this series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third DVD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website, where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth seminar this week, April 14th through the 16th, in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, April 27th through the 29th, and in Atlanta, Georgia, for a Gospel Truth seminar, May 5th through the 7th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock Church of Atlanta, Sunday, May 8th, in the U.K. for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 27th through the 30th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
She was a grayish-white color, and she was still, and she had all these wires coming in and out of her. She was just, she was laid out on a table to be ready to be transported.
When I got into the car to follow the ambulance over to UAB, I had my quiet moment. And I was just praying, God, I know your will in her life. I know you want to heal. It's your will to heal. God wants you well. That kept coming back to my mind. And then the doctor said the heart did not develop. We run echograms. We only see a very small left side of her heart. And if it hadn't been for what Andrew had revealed to me in his teaching, I couldn't have held on to that. I would have spoke death. I would have I've let go of that faith. And this was the time.
Catch the complete story today. Log on to awmi.net. Click on Ministry News. And take a healing journey today.